Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Thursday, January 21st, 2021. 1-21-21. There you go, 14 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio. Have to do a little housekeeping before we get to our guest here this morning. Want to thank Mayor of the City of Dayton, Nan Whaley, for being on in hour number one. First time visitor to this program, but clear that she has aspirations beyond being the Mayor of Dayton, and she will come back with us in a month or so, and we will find out what she has decided. As she told us this morning, she will not be running for Mayor of Dayton the next go around, but she will finish out her term, she said. Also, want to thank Phil Donahue for coming on yesterday. Who better to have for 2 hours live on Inauguration Day than the legendary man who started the issue-oriented talk show back in the 60s, Phil Donahue, who does not do interviews anymore. Very rarely do you see or hear from Phil Donahue. So it was great that he came on yesterday morning for 2 hours. He's become a really good friend. I like Mr. Donahue quite a bit. And as you heard yesterday on the air, he invited me for a Starbucks, which he said he would pay for. Now, that's on record, on the air. Now, Phil Donahue, you will pay for that Starbucks for me next time I'm in New York in his area. So that's a lot of fun. And also do need to wish my cohort on Friday nights here at the station, the show I do on Friday nights, Angie Evers, a very happy birthday today. One of the best people you will ever meet, kind, caring, will do special things for people, go out of her way to be extra kind. One of the best people I've ever met. So happy birthday today, Angie. I hope you enjoy it. And I think we need to do things like that more often. Recognize people who do extra, extraordinarily nice things for other people, including me and including people in her family and beyond. Happy birthday, Angie. Now, we turn to our guest this hour. Guess what? Valentine's Day is less than a month away. Who would have thunk that? This year is just rolling on. And who do we turn to but one of my favorite people who we have on every third Thursday from 9:10 to 10 a.m. live on this program. We haven't talked to her since before the holidays. She is a best-selling author. She is a columnist. She has toured this United States. One of the best, the undisputed queen of helpful hints, here to help us with romance and Valentine's Day. Heloise, Heloise, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. Now, as far as the romance, I can tell you how to make nice cards, but romance is up to you.
You know, is Valentine's Day really about that? I'm not sure. It's somewhat child-oriented in schools still. I'm not sure what the day's about.
You know what? That is a very, very good question. I don't know. We need to find out. I do know, though, that many florists and grocery stores that sell flowers stock and overstock, if you will, roses. Because people will go shopping and say, oh my God, it's Valentine's Day. Quick, give me a dozen roses.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Heloise. Hmm. What have you made of this trend? And I think it's just been the last 4 or 5 years. These bouquets, but they're bouquets of candy.
I have seen those, and I think they're darling. I really, really do, because the first point is they don't die like fresh flowers do. You can eat them. My only comment would be that what my mother used to do for me, my mother, the original Heloise, you know, we would go trick-or-treating, and you'd get all the candy, you know, and she would say, okay, you can pick out maybe 10 pieces or a dozen, and then the rest we're going to put in the freezer. I'm like, what? Why are we doing that? And she said, well, you can't eat all of this at one time. I'm like, yeah. And she said, we're going to put it in the freezer. It will preserve them. And then we'll pull some out every so often.
It's a good idea because, you know, on Halloween and Valentine's Day and other holidays that are revolving around candy, you can't eat all that in just a week or so.
No. I mean, you probably could, but it probably wouldn't be good for your teeth, you know, or your digestive system, etc. So I thought, you know, that makes sense. You know, kind of save some, pull them out when you want to, have a little nibble here and there. And you know that if nothing else happens, you will always have candy in the freezer.
If you are going to have a party, maybe for children, or you are going to have a dinner, maybe with a husband, a wife, a fiancé, boyfriend, girlfriend, decorations. What should we do for decorations for Valentine's Day?
You know, that's a really good question, Scott. I did when I was in college, or no, after I graduated from college, and everybody does the normal, you know, St. Patrick's Day and that kind of thing, is I picked Valentine's Day to celebrate because I like the color red. And when you think of Valentine's Day, you think of hearts, red, the color red, maybe red roses, etc. So I learned to pick two or three that I liked. Mother would put for the candy. I could pick out maybe five. And she put the rest in the freezer. I'm like, no, wait a minute, that's mine. And she'd say, no, you have what you have for right now. And, of course, when you're a child, you know, two or three days later, it's gone. And then she'd say, all right, let's go get something from the freezer. I'm like, oh, I get it now. And we got a letter from a reader, several of them, when I had kind of written about this. And one woman said, oh, she said, I do that every Halloween. She said, my kids go trick-or-treating. It's very safe. And they come back and have all this candy. So I tell them to pick 5 or 10 that they like, and the rest go into the freezer. And then later on in the year, we can go and pull more out.
You know, I can tell, Heloise, that the loss of this candy in the freezer was a big issue for you.
Well, you know, when you're a child, you know, when you're like in elementary school or something like that, those big holidays or events really do leave an impression on you. And I have to tell you a cute one. When I was listening to the intro about, you know, buy this, and then somebody said, but don't buy all the toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now this is the truth. My father was Air Force. And we, the family, your daddy, we were stationed in Hawaii, 1958 through 62. Well, almost all of the supplies came by ship. And if there was a dock strike, the dock workers who would unload and everything, and it happened once or twice, okay, there was no fresh food, or guess what, toilet paper at the grocery store. So... And one time I was shopping with my mother, and the guy behind us, she must have had, 24 packs. And the man said, ma'am, she goes, I have lived through a dock strike where there was no toilet paper, and I'm not going to go through that again.
Oh, you know, toilet paper is just one of those things. You know, it is not very expensive. It is, you know, in a lot of stores. But when you can't find it,
yes. Boy,
it can hamper your life in a big way.
It really can. And remember, it's relatively cheap. And you can store it wherever. Put it under the bed, under the couch. Maybe you don't have room to store a whole lot. And it can be used for other things. When I was in college and wore a lot of makeup, and sometimes I'd take it off at night and sometimes not. But you use paper, tissues, facial tissues. And I kept thinking, you know, wait a minute. Toilet paper, it's paper. It goes in the commode. It dissolves. So I took a boutique or the square tissue box, you know, the little that Kleenex comes out of, the tissue box. And cut the bottom out, put the roll of toilet paper in, and then reached in and pulled it. You take the inner cardboard tube, if you will, out, and then you pull it out, and you have continual soft things to remove makeup on from your face.
Well, that's a good idea.
You know, it's, I was thinking about it, is that, I don't know why I was saying, but when we did live in Hawaii, if there was a dock strike, if the dock workers were striking, or horrific weather, but maybe the ships couldn't get in back then, is the first thing people would do would be go to the grocery store and buy toilet paper.
And we're seeing that now again, a repeat here during this pandemic.
Well, and it makes sense. You know, so what I try to say is think about what you use the most. If you have a lot of children and they get sick and that kind of thing, you need facial tissues and toilet paper and paper towels, and those things are not going to spoil. You know, buy an extra pack, okay, just in case.
Now, if I want to make my house or wherever I'm going to have this dinner look good, how do I make decorations? Do I need to get pink and red construction paper and doilies and do it like that?
I think so, because when you think of Valentine's Day, you do think of red, pink, those kind of wonderful colors. And let the kids help. You know, get a bunch of paper, colored paper, and they can draw designs. You can cut out hearts and make hearts that you can put up. So get the kids involved with something creatively that they can do, and then they can take pride in their work. They help decorate.
Are hearts still it? Is that the symbol for Valentine's Day?
I think so. I really do. And it's a lovely, it's a nice holiday that does not have a downside that I can think of.
Now, when you are getting somebody a gift, I think the three most popular gifts are probably candy, flowers, and for adults, some kind of wine or alcoholic beverage. But see, I think all of this is very difficult because all three of those things, people have a certain like.
Yes.
Yeah, and how do you know?
Well, and that is a really good question, because you have to think in terms of if the person you're giving a gift to, don't give what you think that you would like. Oh, well, hey, I'd like that, or I'd like that. You think about the person. What is it they would like? What do you think they would enjoy? And that's the kind of gift that really makes an impression and stays for a long time.
Well, it is. But see, figuring out what they like, what's a tricky way to do that? Because you don't want to let them know. You don't want to just say, what's your favorite flower?
Right.
What's your favorite candy? Because then they know. If it's like the 13th of February,
yep.
Yeah, they know what's coming.
Yeah, if it's the 13th of February, you might as well just give up and forget it.
Now, is it? By the way, just a side note here, mm-hmm. I think it's February, but people say February, so I say February.
I'm really not sure.
I'm going to continue to say February, but in my mind, I think the pronunciation is February.
You know what? I don't know.
Those are the type of questions I ask around Valentine's Day.
Well, no, I'd ask, let's see, did you get me candy?
That's right. So how do you sneak this in? How do I find out what somebody's favorite candy is if I don't know?
Now, that's a tough one. That, I guess, either observation, you know, and if you know them well enough, or you somehow bring the conversation around to, oh, you know, whatever holiday's coming up. And when I was a child, here's the example. Do you remember when it was Christmas was coming up? And my mother, we always did, the night before, we would leave out a plate of cookies and a glass of milk for Santa to come. So in the morning when you woke up and went, the glass of milk was empty, and there were no cookies left on the plate. So that meant Santa had been there.
Well, that is true. So is there, like a Hershey bar, is that a safe one? Well, some people don't like chocolate. I don't know.
Yeah, it's you need to either know the person, you know, what is it they like, or you give what I call a universal gift, that something that either everyone would use, something that most people would like, and make it, literally make it from the heart.
Now, what is a good universal gift?
A good universal gift to me is something that someone either will use or maybe wants, something that is, in my mind, you know, practical kind of thing. Like, don't give me a giraffe kind of deal, but something practical. And then also what I used to love is, and my mother taught me this, you know, during Valentine's Day also, you know, they sell the candy in the heart-shaped candy box. You take the top off and it's shaped like a heart. Well, save the box itself or the heart shape, and you can use that to have fun with it for a lot of kids. A lot of kids really like, what can they do with it? Can they save things in it? Et cetera, et cetera. So make it something useful, but yet something fun.
You know, kids, this is a big issue, because on Valentine's Day, I believe schools still have the Valentine card swap, where you have your box and then they bring the Valentine over. And, you know, a lot of these you can get store-bought now. You can just buy the store-bought Valentines.
Right.
But if you want to be creative and maybe a little thrifty, what's a good way to do that for probably 25 students that you might have to give Valentines to?
Well, I don't know whether I mentioned to you in our previous interviews and stuff, but I still have, when I went to college, at Southwest Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas, I was a double major, business administration and mathematics, because I loved math. Well, but I also got my teacher's certificate at the same time, because people would say, oh, you can always teach, which I don't know whether that's really good or not. But, you know, give something that might be useful, something they may not buy for themselves. And that's, you know, a gift from the heart, I think. A gift from the heart means a little bit more than stopping by and just picking up some candy.
I think that's true. Do you think we're moving away from candy in some ways?
I don't think so. You know, particularly in times of crisis, like we, the United States and the world, with the pandemic and everything, you need something hopeful, something that makes you happy, something that you can use and look at. So candy is always, unless you absolutely know 100% that the person you're giving it to might be diabetic or might be on a strict diet for that kind of thing. And so keeping those in mind.
Is Valentine's Day pretty much strictly for the female?
What?
What I have seen is, I don't see a lot of females going to the store or calling the flower shop to order for men.
Really?
Maybe they do. I don't know. I just don't see a lot of it.
Well, let me tell you a funny one. My husband, David, was one of the country's first hot air balloonists. This is a long time ago. And when one of our friends was going to be attempting a high altitude balloon flight, okay, hot air balloon, it's hot air, you have a burner, and it's like a dragon. I mean, the burner is, and it puts hot air in the envelope, which is the balloon part, and hot air rises. And so it's kind of a lesson for them, too. And I think handmade Valentine's cards kind of are really more from the heart. And let the kids have fun with it.
Now, how do you feel, though, about writing notes in the card?
Oh, absolutely. Why would you not?
Well, I think sometimes you know people better than others. Maybe in your class, like your best friend, or maybe there is, you know, the puppy love that kids have and they
yeah.
have a crush. But, you know, there might be somebody in the other corner of the room that you barely see. I don't know what you would, you know, Happy Valentine's Day, I guess?
Yeah, and that's it. Scott, that's really a very perceptive viewpoint. And I can remember being in elementary school, and you would do Valentines, and they would hand them out during the class and that kind of thing. And there was always one or two students that only got, like, one or two. Those are the people. And you can give them a Valentine's, and you just write, have a nice day, you know, you're great at math, you play well or something or other. And it makes their day a good one, too.
Well, you know, this is very close to home with me because it wasn't necessarily Valentine's Day, but this whole idea of writing something in the card beside just what the card says, you know, I had what I'm going to qualify as a trauma with this about 20 years ago, and apparently it still lingers with other people.
What?
Well, I'll tell you, I've told this story.
Oh, that you didn't get any cards?
Oh, no. That would have been okay. No, here's the story, and I don't know if we've ever discussed it, but this is a good time to discuss card writing.
Sure.
And I'll get your opinion, because I've asked people's opinion on this before, and I'll shorten this story up. But here, it really had nothing to do with Valentine's Day. It had to do with a wedding. And what happened was a family member of mine, a cousin, was getting married. They lived like 3 hours away, and I could not go to the wedding. And we weren't particularly close, but a lot of my family was going to the wedding, and I thought, well, maybe I should send a wedding card. So I went out to the store-bought wedding card, very nice, expensive mm-hmm. wedding card, and because of what you just said, I did not just want to send the card and sign my name in there, Scott. I wanted to write a little note mm-hmm. because I do that with Christmas cards. Mm-hmm. I do that with Valentine. I always do. I always write a little something because I think people keep cards, and when they pull them out, they can read the note long after I'm dead.
Yes. And, so, you know, that's a very good point, too. A lot of people, myself included, will save cards that someone has given to me. And, in fact, I was cleaning out, one of my cabinets in my, I've got three or four offices in my home, in my, back in our house, our home part, and I was kind of cleaning out, and I pulled out, it had got shoved in the back and that kind of thing, and there was a Valentine card, big one, one of those big, really nice ones, and inside, there were about 20 other Valentine cards, and I must have saved that, and for some reason, that really meant something to me.
And I think this is good to do. I don't think people should toss those things.
No.
And you know, when you find a card, I did this past holiday, when you find a card from somebody who has passed away,
yes.
That's very nice.
It is, Scott. And it's a nice way to think of them, to remember them with a positive thought, maybe something silly or funny. And that's how we kind of keep people who are no longer with us physically, but we keep them in our heart and we keep them in our head.
Well, and here's the crux of my story. So I write my note in this wedding card and I give it to my family who's going to the wedding. They go to the wedding. I totally forget about it because, you know, I've written in it. I've sent it down there. I think the wedding was either the next day or the day after, something like that. And about 8 o'clock at night, I get this phone call. And I say, it was my cousin getting married. I get a phone call from my uncle, who never calls me. And he's calling me. And this is the day that his daughter's getting married. And I'm thinking, why is he calling me? So he calls me, and he is just as infuriated as anybody can ever be. And I think he's kidding. I mean, I really thought it was a joke. I thought, why is he so angry? And I said, and when I realized it was not a joke, because he was so angry, it came off jokey.
no.
Yeah, and I said, well, what's wrong? And he said, it's this card you sent down here. He said, I'm at the reception, and they were opening up these cards, and my daughter just opened up this card, and she's in tears at her own wedding reception.
Oh, no.
Okay, so now here's what I wrote in the card. Now, I've told, and people think this is a made-up story, and I've had to bring people on who were aware, like 20 years ago when this happened, that it is not a, it's the absolute truth. This whole has happened just the way I've described it. Here is what I wrote in the card, and this is the whole crux of the thing on whether I was right or wrong, and 20 years later, I'm sticking to I was right.
Okay.
But here's what I wrote, okay, in this wedding card. What I wrote was, sorry, I couldn't make it to this wedding. I'll try to make it to the next one.
Oh, no.
Now, see, I think I'm right in this.
Well, if I, then I have to disagree with you, because in my mind, that implies that the marriage is not going to last and they're going to get remarried sometime.
But that's, you know what? That wasn't what I was implying. What I was implying was, I can't make it to this wedding. Sorry, I can't make it. You know, like, sorry, I can't make it to this birthday. I'll try to make it to the next one. That's what I was going for.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, because I know that I did not have bad intention in writing that, I will not accept any blame. Because interpretation is interpretation.
Yes.
And but I'll tell you, this has went on for 20 years.
Oh, no.
Oh, they're still, I mean, I talk to them if I see them. But, there's still a little undercurrent of anger about that.
Well, then that's on their shoulders. 20 years is a long time to hold a grudge.
So coming, do you think that was an okay message? Because, you know, I'll be signing Valentine's cards, and I want to make sure that I don't get any angry phone calls on the 14th of February.
Well, you know, part of it is knowing the person you're giving it to. And you don't mean offense. And if they took offense somehow, then really the onus, I think, is on them, unless they're reading it wrong. You know, Scott, that's a really good question. I don't know.
Well, this is the problem. I think in nowadays we're a little too sensitive.
I'm not sure. You know, this, in today's world, literally in today's world, it's a completely different paradigm than any of us living have ever been through, ever. And when it's a paradigm like this, with 2 to 3 negative things that somehow, you know, collide, and they're all at the same time, people are on different wavelengths. You know, maybe they're perceiving it differently or something. So I would use a little caution.
Now, is it acceptable on Valentine's Day to not get anything, even because they'll tell you, they'll say, I don't want anything. But do they really not want anything?
Well, you know, maybe they may not need anything. But even a small gift, even a little gift, is a lovely gesture.
Now, we know that candy goes with Valentine's Day, but what is a good Valentine's Day meal?
Oh, that's a really good question. Oh, you know what? I did one. We had some house guests from England. They were over here, and my husband is a hot air balloonist. One of the country's first, and they were friends that we had met in England, hot air ballooning, and they came to the U.S. and they were going 2 to 3 different events, and Valentine's Day to them, just like, well, what is the point? And I said, you know, everything's red, it's pink, things like that, and I said, well, you don't have to be in love, you don't have to love someone, but it's a nice gesture, and at least that person knows that you were thinking about them.
I think that's right. And cards, we are a big deal on Valentine's Day. There's a lot of, there's a big greeting card business.
Oh, huge. And save them. And as I was saying, you know, I saved mine when I was cleaning out this, this cabinet. I pulled out, I took, the, what I did was I, the largest card, you know, there's some that are oversized, and I had all the Valentines in there. And I pulled it out, and I thought, oh, you know, I've got the trash can, what's garbage, what are we putting back, does this go someplace else? And it stopped me cold in my tracks, and I started looking at the cards, and it took me back to that time. So it's a nice, nice gesture, and it can make people feel like you know, somebody does care about me. Somebody was thinking about me.
Now, when it comes to Valentine's Day, memories are important, as you've just said. So when it's all over, what is clutter that you need to throw away, and what are things that you should keep? Obviously, cards you would keep.
That's a tough one. That's really a tough one in the sense that what is clutter to someone else, like old cards, to you or to me, may hold a memory. So don't go and clean out somebody else's clutter without their permission or without them being there. And you can say, what about this? What about that? What about this? And it allows them to keep X number of things that are near and dear to their heart, that make them smile, brings happiness. Because you never quite know.
You know, I've had an observation about this whole clutter thing, because this hoarder issue it's become such a big issue here in the United States. But I think the problem is now everybody thinks that everybody's a hoarder, but the problem is that I think it goes the opposite way, and we never talk about those people. I know people who, if you write down a phone number on a napkin or an index card and you give it to them, they have to throw it away. There's something in their mind. They can't have that laying around, and they don't think that that's just as big a disease. I think it is.
I am not sure. You know what? I'm really not sure. Because there's certain events in our lives. Maybe a 18th birthday, or you graduate from college, or you get married, a first child, or the first grandchild. Events like that that are significant to you. So to keep something in a positive mode is a good event, and it's really good. It's for your heart. You know, it's what I call a hint from the heart. And I can remember, I think you probably did, in when we were in elementary school, we would make them for our parents. And when my mother, the original Heloise, when she had died, and my brother was here, and we went to help clean out her apartment, and there was somebody else with us that just, I said, wait a minute, stop. Oh, well, this is old. I said, no, wait a minute. You have no idea what that means to me. Now, you don't want to keep absolutely everything, because then you become the hoarder, or it causes too much clutter. But pick two or three that bring back a nice memory. Something that makes you smile, and keep those.
Well, it's interesting in a way, because I think that people, when somebody dies, like your mother, and people face this all the time, when you go to their place of residence, no matter where it is, when they're gone, you're in a bit of a grief state.
Yes.
And you just want to get it over with, because everything there reminds you of them. And you end up doing things that you regret about a year later, that you've thrown that away.
Yes.
Because once it's gone, it's gone. When somebody has went on to their reward, they can't write another letter. They can't sign another card. They can't go out to the store and buy something else and put it in their apartment. So all this stuff you had access to right after they left us is gone, and because in your grief-stricken state, you didn't stop and think.
You know, it's true. And, Scott, that's a really good point, because that maybe you're helping clean out, you know, a cabinet or a closet or something. A third party who is not involved in that relationship, whether it's, you know, father-daughter, mother-son, you know, a cousin, grandmother, something or other, you don't really know how significant that may be. And I was cleaning out a cabinet in one of my desks, and oh gosh, and I thought, okay, you know, and I've got a nice desk in my kitchen area that I do a lot of work on, and I, you know, kind of tossing this and tossing that, and I found a stack of cards, and they were from my father, and he would always, when he traveled a lot too, he would always send a Valentine's card. And he signed it Daddy, because he was my daddy. I kept those, and it brings me happiness now. You know, it's a little bit of him. It's a little bit of his heart. So, and here's the other hint, you know, don't clean out somebody else's junk that you think is junk unless they are there with you, because you never know when that card may have been from a relative who is now deceased. That card may have been from someone they care deeply about. So it's really... Here's the other example. And I'm not going to get maudlin here, but when one of my college roommates and her mother had died, and so the girlfriend group, you know, three or four of us went over, and we said, okay, and it was cute. I heard later they said, oh, God, the girls are here. And each of us, each of the girls, as we recall, basically had either an assignment or something that they were good at. One was to tidy up the bathroom. People are coming to your house. Tidy up the bathroom. One was, you know, let's clean out the refrigerator because we're going to be getting food, kind of things. We need to store it. And one of the funniest, oh, God, oh, Scott, you just make me laugh so much. I think about this, is in my refrigerator, I've been cleaning things out. And I found, you know, like an olive jar, you know, that's kind of tall and thin, you know, that olive jar that you get. And I was in the it was wrapped in foil, and I'm thinking, in the refrigerator, I'm like, what the heck is this? And I peeled the foil off, and I looked inside, and it was filled with congealed and solid fat, F-A-T. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I remembered one of our girlfriends had lived on, I live in San Antonio and in Texas, you know, had lived on a ranch. And they have a not a hunting lease, but on their ranch, I mean, I'm talking acres and acres and acres and acres, they had a house, a little cabin or something that they could go and that kind of thing. And those were things that were near and dear to them. And then I came up, of course, with the Heloise hint is, well, if it's rendered rattlesnake fat, you can use it to take care of your cowboy boots, if they're leather. I know.
Well,
hey.
You know, I'm all for anything like that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, why not? And it's, when they say a gift from the heart, something that you think the person will want, might not buy for themselves, something that might be special to them, that's the kind of gift you want to give.
So, how do you pick somebody's brain? About do you like go to their house or their apartment and look around and see maybe if they collect something or?
I don't know. If you don't know them well, say you've not been to their home, but maybe it's a coworker, and maybe you look at their desk and maybe they have this or that kind of thing. So it's really hard to pick the right gift for the right person unless you know what they may like, what they may use. It might be something they may not get for themselves. And those are keepers.
Are practical gifts ever good when associated with an emotional holiday like Valentine's Day? Like, do you want to give somebody Post-its?
Well, if they were red and pink, maybe.
Red and pink, sure.
I think of Valentine's Day as it's a time to think of being happy, think of people being in love or loving someone, your grandparents or, you know, something like that. Those are good memories. And so keep a good memory in your heart and in your head.
Well, that's true. You know, here's the problem with all these holidays, and I'm just going to get this off my chest right now, since we have, 5 minutes. Here's the problem. You know, you go into the stores, and they'll have a Christmas section, they'll have a Valentine's section, they'll have an Easter section, they'll have a 4th of July section. You know, they have these sections for certain big holidays. And you go out, and you buy the stuff right before the holiday or close to the holiday, and you don't give it to the person until the holiday.
Right.
Well, the next day it's over. You don't want a Valentine's decoration out on February 15th.
Why not?
Well, I think because people they're moving on to St. Patrick's Day by that point.
Well, yes, but again, it's something that brings them happiness, something that makes them smile. So give the gift from your heart that you think will make the person happy.
Well, you know, sometimes you have the best intentions to do that, and it doesn't
True.
End that way.
Yes, and that's through no fault intentionally. You've done the best that you can. You've tried to do the right thing, so you don't need to carry guilt on that. And if you're like many people I know, this is another one. They might use it, whatever the gift is, to re-gift, to give somebody else later, you know, a wedding or something or rather like it. Be sure that whatever you're giving doesn't have a note in it that says, Happy Valentine's Day or Happy St. Patrick's Day and the date. You want to be sure that it's pretty plain vanilla.
You know, sometimes people forget to date things. I think that's important, especially the year, not the month and the date. But a Valentine's card, like, it's good to put the year.
I think it is. I mean, because, like I said, when you're going through it later, and it'll say the year, like hours. Now, here's a funny one. It's not funny, but actually it's kind of weird. People think it is. But my husband David and I, our wedding date was February the 13th, 1981. And February the 13th, I'm pretty sure that happened to be, February 14th. And when I go through these cards, you know, oh my God, we've been married for a long time. 30, 40 years later, it makes me think of that person. And I keep many of those cards, and it's a nice memory. It brings about happiness and joy and thinking of that person, and maybe you had a special time together or they did something nice for you. Those are the kind of cards and notes that you really do want to keep, because later on it'll bring that lovely, wonderful memory back, and it makes you happy.
You know, before we wrap up here in the final 2 minutes, I'm getting a message through the social media about this. Somebody listening out there right now, it's a female, by the way, a younger female. Well, I don't want to say younger. I'm going to say in their 40s, who's saying, no practical gifts for Valentine's Day. I don't know. I think socks are good.
Oh, no.
No socks?
No. Do not buy them, you know, a package of toilet paper or paper towels. No, you want something special, something maybe a little bit, something they may not get for themselves. You know, again, candy, something pretty, something like that. It's a special little treat.
So this one has to be oriented for the holiday. You can't give a practical gift.
I would suggest no.
I don't know. What about like a gift certificate? Go get a massage. Go get your hair done. Go get your hair colored. If you're, you know, like mm-hmm. this person in their mid-40s, maybe they need their hair colored.
I think those are wonderful. Now, again, knowing the person, do they like massages? Do they get them? You know, that kind of thing. Is that's a gift from your heart to them that they're going to use, they're going to appreciate, and they'll think about you at the same time.
Okay, my final one here is there are a lot of specialty donut shops that I notice make heart-shaped Valentines. What if you get them a dozen heart-shaped donuts?
Sounds good to me.
That's right. You know, but message it. Well, massages are always good, people say. I guess. Or getting their nails done. Is that, mm-hmm. that's a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No
yeah.
donuts?
Something, again. It's a happy occasion, something that they may not do for themselves, something they may not buy for themselves, but something you know that they will appreciate and enjoy. And it doesn't, you don't have to spend a lot. You don't have to spend a lot. And I'll tell you, it's a happy memory. Is we had three miniature schnauzers as our pets, or family members, as I call them, and one of them, Zinfandel, Savillon, oh God, the other one's coming up, and I was out in the yard. We live, well, out, it's semi-country, got three-something acres, and I went out, and we've had all of our pets cremated, and then buried by this beautiful, beautiful tree that's in the backyard. It's a beautiful, beautiful tree. And when I look at that, I think of our pets, and I think of what joy they brought to us and how much we loved them. And it's a happy thought.
Absolutely. And hopefully Valentine's Day is a happy thought. I do want to remind everybody, Heloise joins us every third Thursday of the month from 9:10 until 10 a.m., excuse me, Eastern time. Heloise, you have the most wonderful Valentine's Day. I hope you get lots of candy and lots of flowers. And we will talk again in about a month.
Okay. Everybody stay safe, wear your mask, and please take caution and smile and make somebody else happy.
The legendary Heloise, always a pleasure to visit with her. Glenn Coble's coming up next for this day. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
GH Radio streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take the day going on, look at them in a